Chapter 11.
What are we gonna do?
Lyca groaned.
There was no way to stop them without killing them all.
Shit, I murmured, as I paced back and forth and racked my brain for ideas. All right, first things first, we need to get rid of that thing. I pointed to the small rift that had begun to seep even more of the miasma, and the stench of rotted flesh competed with the burnt flesh odor of the fire magic we'd used against the sect.
It's small,
Aliona observed as she scooted closer.
It should be fairly easy. Naomi, would you like to do this one with me?
Yes, of course.
The lizard mage agreed and scurried over to the princess. While they work on that, the rest of us need to look for any kind of clue about these guys, I decided. We obviously know they were with the Green Glass sect, but I highly doubt they traveled this far without any sort of supplies. If we can find supplies, we can find anything else they had on their way here. Including their plan for opening the rift, Nike finished with a smile. Good idea, my lord. Thanks, I replied, and grinned. Now, let's dig up some dirt. We spread out among the trees where the rest of the sect members had been hiding while the others worked on the rift. We climbed through bushes and tall grass to search for anything belonging to the Green Glass sect. Within a few minutes, Aaliyah called out from a few yards over.
Look at this!
The lioness held up a smooth brown satchel with a green leaf stitched into the leather. Now they had team gear? I jogged over and opened the leather flap to reveal a set of three books and a small pouch filled with realweed.
Ugh, gah. I hate that smell, I muttered, as I slipped the pouch into my spatial storage.
We didn't need any more of that shit wafting around. I pulled out the books, and I immediately noticed the first book was really freaking old. The pages were yellow and frayed, and their edges curled up to touch the cover. The cover itself had been scorched, sliced, and even bitten, but it was somehow still intact. I could even see a design pressed into the material. It was shaped like an oval with two lines jutting out from each of the longer sides. I flipped the book open and saw handwritten spells, but I wasn't familiar enough with magic to know what all they did. They were written in a language I didn't recognize, but thanks to the earring Aliona had enchanted for me when I'd first arrived in Hatra, I could still read it.
What is it?
Nike asked as he peered over my shoulder. Spells, I murmured, and flipped another page. I don't know what for, though. It's just ingredients and incantations. No titles, no purpose, no explanations at all. Is that weird?
Not if the mage or priestess didn't intend to share the spells,
Mariah answered.
They could have just wanted to keep track of their own work, not give them to anyone else to use.
That makes sense. Mariah said it could be the book wasn't intended for anyone but the writer, so it isn't explained because they didn't need to.
So now the sect is just guessing at what spells to use?
Nike frowned. That does not make me feel better. Maybe it means more to the ones who cast them, I suggested, as I slipped the book back into the bag. I pulled out the other two, but they looked almost exactly the same as the first one. The only difference was they each had a different hieroglyphic-type symbol carved into their covers.
Ooh, what about these?
Ravi squeaked from a different area. I looked up to see the phoenix held up a bag and jiggled it, and I heard the unmistakable sound of coins clanking together inside the bag. The leaf coins? I asked.
Yep,
she replied, as she pulled one out and held it up for me to see.
What do we do with them?
Take them with us, I answered, and jogged over to her. I slid the satchel of books and the coins into my spatial storage, and then we spread out again to continue searching. We had to find out if this was the last rift, or if there was a fourth one. Geo had been right about the limited passing of information, and our inability to keep even one person alive in this camp was already proving to be a pain in the ass to make sure we'd covered all our bases. Even one rift could ruin the seal the king had on the breach right now, and that would lead to catastrophe for all of us. We didn't know if the new seal would work, let alone if it would work for the breach plus an unknown number of rifts. I hated Olivier, but he knew what he was doing. I wished like hell I'd killed him back in Hatra when I suspected him of something, but I was new to this world at the time, and I was the only one who didn't like him. Now I'd learned to trust my instincts.
The tear is closed,
Aliona announced, as she and Naomi trotted over to where I searched the bushes.
Their spell wasn't complete, so we got here just in time.
I'm worried we won't be that lucky again, I said with a grimace. I have a feeling there's something we need to find, and fast.
What have you found so far?
More of the magic coins and a bag of books, I replied, as I pulled the satchel from my storage. You might be interested in the books. Aliona pulled one of the books from the bag and gasped before she showed it to Naomi, who looked equally shocked.
This is an alchemy book,
the princess nearly whispered as she traced the design on the cover.
This is an ancient symbol used by the gods. How did the Green Glass sect get something like this?
I have no idea, I murmured. Is it pretty rare?
I've never actually seen one,
Aliona answered.
I've read about the symbols, but an original writing? Wow.
Okay, so you take these and do your thing, I decided, as I handed her the bag. Let me know if it tells us where they're going next.
Of course,
she muttered, but I could tell her mind was already on the books. Then my wife and my lizard lover sat down with the books between them and began to pore through their contents. My lord, Iskander called out, and I turned to see him waving a piece of paper. You'll want to see this. I headed for the dragon and saw he'd found a small tent and ransacked it. The contents were strewn about the forest floor, including a couple books, a journal, and quill, and several jars of mysterious liquids. What he held in his hand was more important, though. Is that a map? I gasped, as we crouched and spread it out on the ground. Indeed, he confirmed and pointed to the center. See that? A set of tiny X's were drawn in a line that zigzagged through the rendered peaks of the Mihiretti Mountains. The breach, I exhaled, before I noticed four other X's spread around the page. And those... I trailed off as I looked more closely at the map. One of the marks was where we stood now, and two more marked where we'd been last night and yesterday. There's only one we haven't been to, Iskander finished my thought. Another rift, I growled. I knew it! We have to get going!
You found it?
Rebecca asked from a few feet away. Iskander did, I replied. And it's not far from here. We have to get there, like 5 minutes ago. Impossible! But we shall hurry, the dragon grumbled before he pointed to the west. There's an opening over there. We should be able to take our true forms and fly from there. Okay, let's get everyone back over here, I said, and turned to call out to the rest of our group. We found it! We need to hurry! A few seconds later, my wife, my lovers, and my best friend stood in front of me prepared for battle. I motioned for them to follow us toward the clearing, and Iskander and I shifted into our dragon bodies as Ravi transformed into her phoenix form. Then our passengers climbed onto our backs, and we took off toward the last X on the map. We zoomed up into the clouds and over the breach to the east side of the mountains. We passed the failsafe camp and continued north along the border until the miasma stench made my stomach do flips.
We must be close,
Aliona said, and I could hear the disgust in her voice. Yes, the X on that map was just over that mountain, I replied, and pointed my foreleg ahead of us. The rift location was carefully placed between three high peaks, which made it nearly impossible for us to sneak up on them. Fortunately, now that we'd seen the map, we knew this was the last place we had to find, and we could tear them apart without a single worry. The Green Glass sect wouldn't know what hit them. A few hundred yards from the peak, I looked over at Iskander to see his face was grim with determination as he glanced in my direction. "Do we need anyone alive this time?" he asked, as though he'd been reading my mind. "Nope," I answered, and bared my canines in a feral grin. "Perfect," he growled. "Hang on tight," I called out to our passengers. As we crested the final peak, I could see the rift. It was completely open, and the shadows of demons swam around under the purple surface as the oily smoke poured from the tear in reality. A narrow river ran through the middle of the flat valley and exited between two peaks, but the water ran right next to the rift, and its usually clear blue color had been tinted gray and black. Bushes and small trees sparsely decorated the area, but they also looked on the verge of death, probably because of the miasma. About 24 tents lined one side of the valley, and I wondered how much of the Green Glass sect we were about to demolish. Then I noticed the miasma had already poisoned some of the sect members, and they stumbled around the camp with crazed eyes as they searched for their target. We'd noticed the miasma seemed to create a hive mind for its victims, and they all had one goal in mind, to kill Aliona.
Without her in the camp for them to find, they simply walked around like crazed idiots with no purpose. In Pullis, the mermaid we'd healed from miasma poisoning had been chained to the floor to keep her violence from reaching the rest of the city until we'd walked in the door, and then she tried her hardest to kill my wife. That was only the latest in victims of the miasma who had almost met their end at my hand for going after Aliona. Iskander and I met eyes and nodded before we plunged down toward the camp and opened our maws. Our fire purged the first part of the camp, and sect members went running in every direction as they tried to avoid the flames. Still, we continued to fly low over the camp and roasted everything in sight. Ravi flew between us and dropped her own sparks on top of anything we missed. Aliona and Naomi began to murmur spells too, and their black and white magic joined our flames as they tore into tents and robed figures with a powerful fury. I watched as nearly half the camp went up in flames with just our first pass before we looped around and continued our rampage over the other side. As we continued to scorch every inch of the Green Glass Sect's camp, I imagined how we must have looked from down below. It had to be what everyone feared from our kind. Two gigantic flying creatures soaring overhead and casting fire down onto them without any mercy. Normally this wasn't how Iskander and I were, but today we would play the role of the ruthless, bloodthirsty dragons until every last one of these bastards was a smoking pile of ashes. I looked down to see most of the sect members had already fulfilled the ashes part of my vision, and none of the poisoned ones had been smart enough to run away, so their burnt bodies laid spread out near the rift where they'd started. A few other sect members had gathered their wits and began to fight back, though, and a barrage of arrows soared up toward us. Iskander zoomed straight up to avoid the projectiles, but I let the arrows hit my soft underbelly. I could easily get them out, and if my poisoned blood dripped onto the traitors, that was even more I could get rid of before I even landed among them. Sure enough, droplets of my blood dripped down onto the archers, and I could hear the screams and sizzles as the poison seeped into their skin. Killing the basilisk had brought double the power for me today. In less than 5 minutes, we demolished 90% of the Green Glass Sect's biggest camp yet, and I flew higher to meet Iskander. "Let's go finish them off," I grunted. "You can be whatever form you want as long as you keep your fire on them."
"Deal," he snarled.
We flew back down toward the ground, and I plucked the handful of arrows from my belly just before we landed. The two of us hitting the ground together shook the campsite like an earthquake, and a few of the sect members watched us with wide eyes. Many more took off running, and I wasn't sure where they planned to go until I saw the gap between two of the mountains that led to a forest. Between the fires, my people, and the sect members, it was a little too close quarters for me to stay in my dragon form. So I'd have to shift into my human body to continue to take out the sect.
"Don't let them get away," I commanded, as I motioned toward the deserters.
Ravi dropped to the ground in a column of flames and reappeared in her human body. Then she conjured a fiery bow and arrows and began to rapid-fire the projectiles toward the runaways. She hit a couple, and the others were thrown off their path by the fires she created.
"I'll finish them,"
Aaliyah growled before she took off at a dead run toward them. And holy shit, that lioness was fast. She caught up with the fleeing cowards just as I finished shifting into my human body, and their screams echoed around us as she shredded limbs from torsos and tossed them aside like the trash they were. Rebecca sprinted after her, and while I didn't think bears were known for their speed, her long legs covered ground quickly. She joined in with Aaliyah, and they both tore apart their black-robed prey in savage synchronicity.
"For the sage!"
someone screamed off to my side. I looked back just in time to see a man emerge from one of the flaming tents with a yellowish orb between his palms. He threw it at me, and I conjured my fire shield just in time to block the orb from hitting Aliona.
"Don't you dare fucking touch her!"
I bellowed as I called on my fire magic and launched an orb back at the mage. He dove to the side, and the fire crashed into his tent. The explosion sent up a huge column of fire that looked like a nuke had gone off, and the mage looked at the fire with wide eyes.
You don't understand," he stammered, and scooted away as I marched closer. "We have orders to kill her."
I don't give a damn, I snarled, and smashed another fireball into his chest. The mage howled as the fire penetrated his skin, and I watched as his body seemed to melt from the inside out. My inner dragon roared with satisfaction, and I turned to find more opponents to burn. I watched as Nike plunged the sword of light through another mage's chest until the blood-soaked blade stuck out of his back, and then he shoved the sect member off his sword with his boot and wiped the blood off on his trousers before he set off after another. By the time we'd cleared the camp, we were all soaked in blood and soot from the sect members who tried to defend the rift and failed. As far as we could tell, none of them had escaped into the forest, and I didn't see or hear anyone else in the camp.
My lord, we need to take care of this,
Aliona called out. I turned to see she and Naomi stood over the rift with twin looks of concern, so the rest of us joined them over the tear and stared down into the abyss. The demons flicked back and forth beneath the thin surface, and a feeling of overwhelming horror fell over me like a thick blanket. I wanted to burn all of them, but something told me that wouldn't work. They were waiting for someone to fall in, and that seemed to be all they needed to escape. The black tendrils of miasma looked like fingers reaching for us, and I grabbed Aliona and Naomi to pull them back. We shouldn't be too close, I muttered. Something in there is hungry, remember?
Yeah, we need to stay away from it, but we have to seal it.
Naomi agreed with a second look over her shoulder at the rift.
I can help,
Mariah declared. Then a flash of blinding light filled the campsite, and the sword spirit appeared in front of us.
Mariah, thank you. I think the three of us should be able to seal this together, like we did before.
Yes, I knew you could channel me,
Mariah said with a smile.
I want to help in any way I can.
Let's get to it,
Naomi murmured. The three women huddled together as they began to work on sealing the rift before any demons could escape into our world.
While they're working on the seal, we need to make sure there are no survivors, I decided.
Yeah, I think they're all on fire or in pieces,
Aaliyah chuckled as she licked the blood from her claws.
But we can double check.
I grinned at the hunter's confident swagger as she, Laika, and Rebecca turned to start searching one side of the camp, and Nike, Iskander, Ravi, and I began to search the other. We spread out and pulled apart tents and blankets. No one hid from our wrath so far, and I was pretty sure Aaliyah was right. It seemed impossible that anyone could have escaped our destruction of the camp, but it didn't hurt to be completely certain. I didn't plan on leaving anyone behind, though I wished I could see the look on Olivier's face when he saw what we'd done to his plan. We'd taken out three other camps, plus his backup plan, all in only 2 days, and it felt good to be a step ahead of the so-called sage. I guessed he hadn't planned on me healing Iskander, so we could use his knowledge to start our plan to fight back. We wouldn't take this situation lying down, and he would have to learn that part pretty quickly. The breach would soon be sealed, now that we had all the rifts closed and the power of the Redeemi Vincio ceremony. Plus, we now knew we could add even more power to what I'd gained with the first bond, so there was no end to the things we could do to rip the Green Glass sect apart. I was lost in my thoughts of murder and mayhem when I realized I had reached the end of the valley. I looked up at the mountain and then turned to walk the edge of the camp. Nike caught up with me, and we paced around the tents that were now only ashes and burnt poles until we reached the pass to the forest. What do you think he'll try next? I asked the fellow noble as I stared into the trees. Olivier, Nike whistled and crossed his arms over his chest.
I don't know, my lord. He seems to always have some trick up his sleeves.
I know, but we found all his tricks today, I replied. His rifts are gone, or will be soon. His people are dead, and he's all alone in his little game to become the new king or whatever.
You think he's the last one left?
His eyebrows lifted with surprise. Possibly, I answered.
I mean, we've been killing those assholes left and right for the past few months. He can't have too many friends left by now.
Maybe we'll get lucky and he'll just kill himself, Nike said with a shrug.
Oh, Valera would be so pissed, I chuckled. Then a whisper of noise tickled my ear, and I turned to face the forest. I scanned the trees, but I couldn't see anything.
You heard it?
Nike whispered, and his eyes were narrowed into slits as he searched the greenery ahead of us as well.
Yeah, someone got out.
It could be an animal, the noble reminded me, but he didn't sound convinced.
We should check it out.
Yeah, I agreed, and looked to my right to see Iskander had almost reached us.
Hey, keep an eye on everything here. We'll be right back.
Is everything all right, my lord?
The white dragon's face slipped into a steely expression that reminded me that he'd spent centuries as a guardian for the White Jade Temple.
Not sure yet, I muttered. You keep them safe, no matter what.
Of course, my lord,
he replied, and dipped his head before he strode over to where the rest of my group waited for the magical women to seal the rift. I looked over at Nike, and we both silently drew our swords and stepped into the shade of the forest trees. Our boots pressed into the soil as we crept through the shadows in search of the noise, and I sniffed the air and caught a whiff of smoke, like someone who had left a burning campsite might smell. So I motioned for Nike to follow me as I tracked the scent deeper into the forest. We stayed close together and crouched just below the tall grass as I followed the smoky smell. The trees became closer together, and I looked down to see if there was any sign of what or who we were following. Several animal tracks crisscrossed the path ahead of us, but the impression that caught my eye was the imprint of a boot. I pointed it out to Nike, and he nodded in understanding. Someone had definitely escaped the camp, and they weren't going to get very far. The boot print indicated the defector was headed south, and I continued to track the mixture of prints and smell until I saw a flash of movement about 30 yards ahead.
"We're close," I whispered.
We picked up the pace as we approached where I'd seen the movement, and then I caught another glimpse of blonde hair as someone scurried down over a ridge.
No fucking way.
I took off at a full sprint, and Nike struggled to keep up. I had a feeling I knew who we were hunting, and I didn't want to lose him. Then I leapt over the ridge and had to tuck and roll as I landed on the side of a slope. I dug my heels in and grabbed a tree to keep from rolling all the way down the mountain before I looked down and saw a blonde ponytail in the valley below us. Olivier turned around to see me and grinned before he fled toward the trees on the other side.